Hey, what's up, guys, and welcome back to Life with Style. I'm your host, Guy Vaught, and on this episode, I'm bringing you a human being I met a couple years ago, super inspirational, great entrepreneur, works in the surf and skate community, all around great human being, Mark Chu. We're going to sit down, talk surfing, marketing, God, traveling, and so much more. So sit back, relax, enjoy getting to know Mark Chu. All right, guys. Well, welcome back to Life with Style. I'm here with a really, really good friend of mine. He just flew in from Europe, based in California, Europe. This cat is the man. Mark Chu, welcome to the show, bro.
What's up, God? Thanks for having me. It's actually Mark Sawyer Chu who got married now. So my wife and I both changed our last names just to mix it up, make it a little bit different. So I figure there's a few other Mark Chus in the world. I've seen him on, we've chatted on Facebook, and some of the guys actually surf, but there's no other Mark Sawyer Chus.
There you go. Congratulations on getting married as well. Welcome back to Hawaii. I know you come out here every year. What are you focused on this year out here in Hawaii?
So just back out and covering pipe again and just doing meetings with all the brands that we work with, from Life Proof to BO Wetsuits and WSL themselves, and whole surfing communities here. So it's important to be here. And just run into everyone at Foodland. It's easy to knock out tons of meetings since everyone's in town. Don't have to like drive to Ventura or San Diego and do different stops in between. So it's easy to lock everyone in. And it's just good to see everyone, catch up with everyone from Christian Surfers and Church out here at the same time. Get to see all your friends from Australia, South Africa, all in one place. So it saves a lot of traveling.
How did you become an entrepreneur and start in the surf industry?
That's a good question. This podcast might be like 4 days long. I'll try to keep it short. So basically, I was working at Surfer Magazine about 10, 15 years ago, and then did a stint at Surfline as well when I moved back from Australia, and ended up just starting my own LLC consultancy firm, and worked for a couple guys that were actually at Surfer and ASG back in the day. It was called Action Sports Group in San Juan Capistrano, when it was owned by Prime Media before it was sold to Source Interlink, which is the publishing company that owns it now. And I think they might even sold recently, so I'm not even sure who owns them now. I think it changed hands a few times, but that's the corporate world. And these guys kind of had a similar type of consultancy service. And I worked for them in Manhattan Beach for about 7 years. And so I kind of took a spin off that, created a 2.0 version off that. So my group's called Action Sports Lifestyle Group. .com LLC, and so kind of work for a variety of different surf publishers and media outlets that way, and but my primary client is the inertia.com.
Right on. What's the average day for you when you wake up and get at it?
Gosh, it depends where I'm at in the world. What I'm doing in Europe, I'm helping my wife run our surf house, which is in Lanzarote, the Canary Islands. It's the Hawaii of Europe. European pipes on our island, you can see it from the house, really good waves. Super kind of like under the radar, kind of like more like Kauai than it is Oahu. 144,000 people, way smaller island, way more low key. It's probably about 20 years back, so pretty hardcore vibe, no camps. And I had to pay my dues with the locals to get in there. First year was really tough, but now I got a lot of friends on the line, so stuck with it, prayed through it, and 2 years out there now. So my Spanish has gotten better, un poco mejor. So my wife Lydia has been my very patient Espanol instructor, and so she's been helping me, teaching me Spanish to kind of fit in more with the local community and the locals out there. So when we're there doing that, working remote, doing California hours, doing late, and I'll travel a lot to a lot of trade shows, Outdoor Retailer, Denver, Surf Expo Florida, ISPO in Germany, Agenda, and just different trade shows in the surf and outdoor space. So I'm constantly doing that, either in the States or abroad. And so it just kind of really depends what's going on and if there's events going on, or just catching up with friends like you. So making sure that I'm at all events, showing face, and just doing a relationship time with all the athletes, the pros, industry guys, and just catching up with friends.
That's super, super rad. How do you maintain a schedule like that? Is it something you do yourself, or you have a secretary, your wife helps you with that? Because that sounds like a super insane schedule to try to keep track of.
That's a good question, guy. And sometimes you wake up, you're like, what country am I in? And I'm not a pro surfer, so I'm not moving around my board bag every other day. I think that is why God gave man a wife, a helper. She definitely helps me with that, with all our different Google calendars, iCalendars, Outlook calendars, helps syncs it up on notes. She keeps me on track for a lot of different meetings and phone calls. And yeah, she's a big part of that. And so I'm keeping track and tabs on that myself, obviously on my computer. I've got a massive MacBook that I'm doing, tons of emails from a day. And so she helps me a lot with that schedule. It just keeps me on par. And, you know, occasionally I'll miscalculate like a call by an hour or something like that. So I try not to do that. You do your best, and it's hard when you travel a lot. But luckily nowadays it's a digital world. You and I were talking about that earlier. Just got to be on top of your social media game, you know, your LinkedIn, your Facebook, your Instagram, obviously your email. And you just do your best to kind of be able to, translate the time zones correctly for all your calls and your meetings. And you try to book as much as you can in there. So obviously it's, you know, the clients you got to meet when they can meet or talk when they can talk. So I just do my best to kind of accommodate all the people I work with.
How is your company providing value to other companies? I know, like you said, you guys deal in digital media. What are you doing for certain clients if they call you up and they're like, hey, we need help marketing a new release or whatever it might be? How does that go down?
Wow, guy, that's another good question. Buena pregunta, man. I wasn't ready for this. Digging deep here. All right. I've been in the industry, basically, short version is, 20 years more or less. God's just opened up a lot of doors and favor with a lot of different pros and athletes and talent and relationships, publishers. And so just great people in the industry that I've worked with in some way, shape or form in the past. And, pretty much all the companies, I've being with, I had a friend at a lot of the companies, we're just talking to different executives and no contacts at most brands. And so it's a great place to be, and definitely paid my dues the first couple years. And it's helped, just kind of being able to have that network and bring that to the table, just knowing who to call, who to have a meeting with. A lot of sales, even though it's programmatic and digital nowadays, at the core of sales, it's still relational. And so, and I really pride myself on that, just treating people the way I like to be treated. And I've learned that through faith and church and relationship with God and Jesus, more so than religion, and just treating other people the way I like to be treated. And so whether they're my client, whether they got a budget of $5 or, $500,000 or whatever, I treat all the people the same way. And so I really taught me that golden rule. With faith, and that's the way I approach business. I make time for everybody. And so it's been great to kind of bring that type of work to the table and just to provide that type of service across all my products, all my platforms, and just all different types of people and communities.
That's incredible for sure. I know you are strong in faith for sure, as well as I am. And we both run in circles that maybe some Christians might see is, hey, why do you guys hang out with those type of cats or whatever? But me personally, I've always felt like the Lord has just led me to have all different types of friends, and you're kind of the same way. How do you deal with that, and how do you really like show God's love and stuff when you're dealing with people that might be on the other side or just not on the same path that we're on, as far as having the heavy faith in Jesus and God?
Yeah. Guy, going even deeper, man. Wow, this is a big wave. Got to keep paddling. All right. That's a heavy question. I actually spoke at Sunset Fest last night. I was blessed to help part of it last year, bring some speakers. And I was blessed this year to be invited back and do some talk story with Reef Hazelwood. Finished 29th on the WQS this year, first year on tour, or first year on the qualifying series. And then big wave surfer Aaron Gold. And I think it's just biblical, guys. Just kind of like how you live your life, how I live my life. We're not supposed to be in these, bubbles, these holy roller bubbles. And in church, we're in the world, and we work in our industries, our with people of all different brothers and sisters from all different backgrounds and colors and different nations and different tongues. And so, and Jesus just loved everybody. It didn't matter who they were. He didn't look at their outside or how good they served. He looked at their heart. And so that's the same approach I take with business as well, you know? And so, as I kind of mentioned earlier, and so you have to learn to do life in this world well, and you have to learn to be able to love on everybody well. And that's really what I try to aim for with ministry and missions, because again, it's just all goes back to relationships. So for me, there's no just hanging out with other, you know, believers or other Christians. It's really I had a pastor once in LA in Torrance, guy Takashima, great guy, and he always said to me when I was there, and he, this church was a big help to Christian Surfers South Bay when I was the chapter director. He said, I always wanted to be he always aspired to be the most unoffended Christian or Jesus follower. I don't even like to say Christian because it's such a weird label. People have like a lot of bad connotations with it sometimes. I like to just say Jesus follower, and it's a lot more clear. he said that to me, and that's always stuck with me, is like, I want to be the most unoffended, unreligious guy so I could love on anybody. And he kind of showed me that and taught me that and walked that out. So I just tried to follow that.
Right on. I know we met through a great friend of ours that we both admire greatly, Pastor Lyle Castellaw. I've known Lyle since I was knee high to a grasshopper, and he would always talk about you so much. And he's just like, dude, you got to meet my buddy Mark, and you guys will totally hit it off. And sure enough, we met last year and definitely even got just 5 minutes with you. And I was like, okay, this cat's super, super cool. I see me and you kind of like the same in a lot of ways. Yeah. I believe we're kind of seed planters, connectors. We bring people together from way different walks of life that would probably never even become friends and stuff like that. Do you see yourself kind of in that same light?
Yeah. You know, Lyle's awesome. I'm so stoked that he hooked us up and introduced us. He's been there for me personally and kind of ministry-wise for a long time. He was the chairman, and still is the chairman of the board for Christian Surfers US. He was one of the guys, him and a guy named Dean Plumley, who was the previous national director for Christian Surfers, put me on the board for, or recommended me for the board for the International Christian Surfers, which is now based in Jeffreys Bay, South Africa, so not a bad place to go visit and do board meetings. And Lyle's just walked me through life, like with a lot of personal relationships. He married Lydia and I, so that's just kind of a testimony to the difference he's made. And I kind of forgot your question.
I was just saying that, you know, we both come off kind of like seed planters, yeah, and really connecting people up is, yeah, how I feel like God uses us so much, yeah, is connectors, you know, really bringing people together that would never, you know, come together. I've had friends call me lately and just be like, man, you've always been able to bring the craziest combinations of people together that would never end up to be friends, and now they're best friends, and you're friends with both of them, and yeah, it's amazing how God works. And Lyle would always tell me that too, and it took me years, as you say, a Jesus follower and a Christian, yeah, to really realize like, how is God using me in this life, yeah, you know? So
yeah,
what do you see for the future of your company moving forward and your companies that you're involved in? What are some of the things you're looking forward to?
Yeah, that's another good question, Guy. But to what your point earlier, you are definitely a connector. I think God's blessed us both with, you know, kind of a broad network of different people that we know. And again, God's heart, as you said, is for all people, not just all the good-looking people that surf well, that are, you know, maybe bald or have blue eyes or whatever, you know, for everyone. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you look like. And so I love that we bring that, the world, those different worlds together, because that's God's heart. Future of my company, love to keep doing what I'm doing. I've been so blessed to do it for the last 8 years or so, and keeping it going and just helping out friends, helping out different people I just love working with. And sometimes there's no paycheck in it for me, but I just believe in people and their product or what they're doing, especially if it's something really good for the earth or sustainable. It's got a good message behind it, if there's any type of faith element to it. And there's so many great stories, like, you know, there's so many great people in this world, in our industries, in our communities, like Sean Briley. He was one of the Talk Story guys last night. Cash Lambert interviewed him. And you know, I don't know what, you know, the future has for me. Only God knows that. I didn't even know I would be doing this. If you were to say, hey, you'd be married to an European, beautiful British wife and managing a surf house with her in the Canaries off Morocco, just traveling every other month and, you know, going between continents and countries with global business clients and contacts and being able to do international ministry, you know, with Christian surfers in 38 different countries and helping that grow, I would have said no way. Like, that just sounds too good to be true. So he's already blown my mind and blown open the doors for me already in the last 8 years and before that, and even when I was working corporate jobs that I just hated in a cubicle, you know, for 10 hours a day in a suit and tie. But so I really have an appreciation for where I'm at now, thanks to Jesus. And so you know, and tomorrow's never guaranteed. I know I can lose all this in a second, you know, and I don't deserve any of it. So I just appreciate it, take it day by day, do my best to have a succession plan, but ultimately he's in control of the economy, he's in control of the world, he's in control of my clients, he's in control of my business and my marriage. And so I just do my best to stick as close to him as possible and trust him with the rest.
That is very well said right there, for sure. I'm going to ask the crazy off the wall question. Are you paying attention to AI at all, and what are your thoughts about AI?
Andy Irons. Artificial intelligence.
There we go.
The other AI.
I love Andy Irons. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I love Andy to death and his whole family and his whole crews. That's for sure. So big ups to Andy really fast. But AI as far as artificial intelligence.
There could be more, you know, multiple acronyms that stand for many things. Obviously, I think I've been in the surf world too long, guy. You say AI, I'm actually think Andy, who I you know, definitely need to pray for Axel and Lindy and Bruce a bit more. I got one of Andy's last boards from Eric before he passed away. So, you know, I being like a digital media sales consultant, definitely do my best to keep up with media. AI is definitely a big part of that. You know, VR, you know, programmatic, just kind of. I really lean more to the storytelling side versus technology, because, you know, technology is obviously fantastic because it allows us to tell these stories on social media, on web, on mobile, on email and whatnot, and different apps now. And it's great to see that develop. It's really just a distribution platform for me and my business. We focus a lot mostly on human interests and stories, and a lot of that is what we tell on the inertia. And so that's what really resonates for me is you know, the human heart. And so, and if AI is a way to tell that, you know, and then that's a platform that we need to use. But I haven't been watching it super closely. I do subscribe to several like different media newsletters, and they talk about that a lot. I know there's ad tech and a lot of different conferences that have panels dedicated to AI, but definitely open to learning. And it's really hard to keep up the industry, especially digital media, because it's constantly changing every day. There's new companies, there's new technologies, you know, whether it's AI or VR or whatnot. And so it's definitely important. And I don't know if that answers your question, guy.
That's good. I just want to throw it out there and kind of get your thoughts on it.
You can keep me posted.
Right on. Is there anybody outside the surf community and what we do that you pay attention to? Is there any other business guys that inspire you? Or is there anybody you're watching outside of the surfing world that really inspires you business-wise?
Yeah. Gosh. Business-wise... you know, I used to be into that quite a bit and read a lot of books and podcasts. And for me, my time is really, you know, limited now. And I've actually just kind of just given that to God. And, you know, I do my best to know what I'm talking about and to be savvy with that. But, you know, I dedicate a lot of my time now to just being a good husband and preparing to be a good father and listening to a lot of podcasts. There, like one called Love and Respect. That it's a son and a pastor's a pastor who's a dad, and they do this book and this podcast. And so I really, you know, apply a lot of the, I don't really, for me, my business is my lifestyle. So I don't really compartmentalize my life into work, professional, and in work and ministry and in personal. It's really a blend, and that's the blessing I think that I have, is that I don't really look at my work as a work. And so I mix all that. All those values that I learned from faith and from Jesus, those are what I apply to my business for ethics. And so I'm not looking to a specific business leader or book for that. You know, I'm looking to God. And I think he transcends all that, all those aspects and categories in our life. And so I would guess it would be Jesus.
Nothing wrong with that. That is for sure. What advice would you give maybe a young kid in high school right now? Yeah. It's a senior, not quite sure maybe what he wants to do, if he's going to go the college route, or, you know, maybe school's not for him, if he wants to start his own business. Obviously, the technology is first and foremost in what's happening in today's world. But what advice would you give a young kid that's up and coming, maybe wants to start his own brand, Surfline, or just his own business in general?
Gosh, that's a really good question. I think Surf Careers asked me that a few years ago when I started my own business. And I think it's different for every person, you know, because, you know, no two humans are alike. God's created us all individually. We've got our own fingerprint. It's unique to us. And only God can do that. There's millions and millions of people in the world, so billions. And so how does anyone do that? That's another testimony to God's existence. But I would say for me, I'm going to go back to Jesus, because the faith element, that's the most important thing. You know, knowing your identity in who you are beyond your job, beyond your business, because your eternal purpose is really going to help guide your path in life. And that'll organically flow into who you are as a person, into who you are, what you do for work, what you do for ministry, how you provide a paycheck for yourself and put food on the table, shelter over your head. He's the ultimate provider. And he does that by giving us business ideas. He does that by giving us creativity, giving us, you know, different personalities, different spiritual gifts, different gifts of this world that we can use to apply to make a difference. And part of that can be through business, and whether starting a nonprofit, or you and I were talking about getting creative on Instagram or social media, or starting your own podcast like you're doing. You know, I think it's different callings, and just not having fear is probably the biggest thing that holds a lot of people back. And that goes right back to faith again. It's all, a lot of people really do separate that in this world now. They put that in a little bucket of religion. And we know that's just man-made laws. And then we works a big part of, you know, taking up a big part of most people's lives now. But if you can go back to that foundation in our identity, who's our creator, why we were created, that really just overflows organically into all the different parts of our lives and our calling and what we're actually supposed to be doing and what we put our time and our money into. And all that doesn't matter if your marriage isn't good, if your personal relationships are good, if your health, your family isn't healthy. I could have the most successful business in the world, but if I'm divorced, you know, I got 8 kids, I got a broken relationship with, it doesn't matter. And so for me, it really is biblical to put God first, put your marriage and your family second, and then your work and your business. And all that will just naturally overflow into each other if it's working well and if it's positive. And so that's what I really try to look to God as my business mentor, as my coach, as, you know, my spiritual savior. He's all those things to me. And so, I can apply that to my surf. I can apply that to my business. Every time I give a business deal, you know, give him the glory, that reminding myself, like, it's not me bringing in that deal. It's his favor and the relationships and the doors he's opened for me and how I treat people. You know, like this, they may not know that I'm a Jesus follower at first, but like, wow, this guy, doesn't matter. He gets back to me on email ASAP. He gets back to me on text. He makes time for everybody, no matter who they are. And that's what I really want to be known for at the end of my life.
That's interesting that you said that, because I'm totally the same way when it comes to people. Like, a lot of people get to know me and they're like, dude, we never knew you were a Christian. And it's like, hey, I'm down to talk about Jesus all day, but I want you, like, if you come to me and we want to talk about it, cool, but I'm not going to beat you over the head and tell you, like, oh, I'm this, you know, some great guy, because it's all God, you know what I mean? I let God kind of just work his way in, and then once they start talking about it, we can have that conversation. Is it kind of the same way with you?
It is. I wear my heart on my sleeve, you know. That's who I am. My identity is in him, not in who I am or who I've built or what, I mean, business deals I've closed, or, you know, how many followers I have on social media, or definitely not in how I surf. I'm an average surfer, so, you know, but I know I'm thankful it's not in that, you know, thankful it's not in how successful I am in the world. And so, and because life changes and world, it's a broken world. And, you know, your business will go up and down. Your life will go up and down. Life will happen. It doesn't matter who you are. And problems don't have any prejudice, you know, whether you're rich or poor, tall or short, you know, it doesn't matter your background. Life will happen to people. And so having that priority, kind of like what we talked about, you know, is the most important thing. And as long as I can stay focused and centered on that, know my identity, if I go through a couple months of bad business, you know, that could be disappointing for a lot of people, it doesn't really shake me that much, because I know that God's in control and those things don't define me. And so, and he's always provided, he's always taken care of me. And I know he's not going to stop, and I'll know he'd do the same for you, guy. And we were just talking about like that with jobs and expectations not coming through and getting laid off and, you know, changing, you know, cities and places we live. And that's life, you know, and that's always going to happen. That's going to continue to be there as long as we're in this world. But the one constant I think that you and I have is Jesus Christ.
Can't say it better myself right there. Let's talk about something super, super fun. Where is your favorite place to surf?
Several secret spots back home. It's kind of like Kauai again, not allowed to name them. Even when I send photos to friends and never post them on social media, but direct to friends, I'll send you a couple, but I say somewhere in the Atlantic. And I love that it's like 20 years back in time for surf culture, kind of like North Shore was back in the day, you know. And and it's hard because, you know, you kind of like you see the tourists show up and they're obviously not allowed to surf every spot, you know, but it goes back to relationships again. And so, but there's a couple really good waves on the island. I'm a bit older now, you know, I think you're a few years older than me, but the European Pipe, I love surfing it on a small day. It'll be way less crowded in Pipe here. And it's pretty fickle, with wind back home, like it can be here, cause it's an island. So I'm going to try to get into foiling. So, Kai Lenny's promised to take me out. So Kai, I'm going to hold you that. I hope you listen to this podcast. And Kai and I have a lot of great conversations about faith too, which is awesome. And he's such a good kid, and, you know, knew him before Hurley. And so it's good to know these guys, and it's good for them to know that you love them before, like, you know, they became famous. And so, and then just again, we go back to, no matter who you are, we treat them all the same way. And so, Great Islands, would love to have you, guy. Come visit. I don't know how good your Spanish is, but
not very good.
You can speak Spanglish like me, but as long as you're genuine in the water, you respect people, and it's really a lot of Great Islands. So to be honest, guy, I'm spoiled now. And I'm so spoiled that I don't even really surf that much in Cali or on the mainland, because I get so many good waves when I'm back home now, my other home, my second home, the Canaries. And so, but it's obviously still important to stay in the water, show face, and be part of the surfing, your local surfing community. But so many waves. There's probably 25 waves on the island that are really well known, and there's a whole nother 25 that are secret spots. So I can't tell you your names. You're just going to have to come visit.
I got to ask you, since you brought him up, Kai Lenny, obviously probably rode one of the biggest waves I've personally ever seen. Was that paddling, towing, whatever you want to call it, at Jaws. I know he got towed in. A wave is a wave, and that thing was a monster. What do you see for him? I see a kid that started out ripping, and he's taking all the sports that he's super athletic at, yeah, and he's good at all of them. Is that the new wave of surfing, do you see? And then also, on top of that question, you've seen him get different types of sponsorships, like Bank of Hawaii he's doing stuff with. Yeah, and right, outside of surfing, do you see surfers needing to start stretching outside of the surf industry world and looking towards different sponsorships and different companies to, you know, take them to that next level so they can make a living surfing?
100%. You know, that's one thing that I would love to see our athletes and our pros get better taken care of. Health insurance, 401k, retirement, you know, not these guys that were made it at some point and now they're older and they're injured and, you know, they're struggling to put food on the table. Kai's a great example of that, and I love him just because of his heart, his character, and he's just such an upstanding guy. He's a great role model, great ambassador for surfing, and he's still so young. just well spoken, doesn't like, you know, he's not like dropping F-bombs every other word. He knows how to carry himself professionally in and out of the surf world, and surfing's changing, guy. That's, and as you know, and that's a great question. And like you said, you need to adapt with technology. We were talking about that earlier with the older guys, and you need to adapt beyond surfing, and you need to be able to transcend the culture, be an ambassador of Aloha. You know, it's tough because I get the old school mentality as well. This is you know, the roots of it, and not having anyone else learn and share the waves, and it's crowded. And it's hard because it's a limited resource and there's more people doing it ever, and people are getting dropped in on, and it's unsafe. And so, but you know, there was always someone that taught us. That was my mentality, and it's not for us to keep, you know. It's funny, I see that shirt that's kind of popular. I do chuckle at it. It says surfing sucks, don't try it. But, you know, I laugh at it, but I'd have to really disagree with it because someone taught me, and I've definitely taught people. We all have. You know, and you're sharing that aloha, you're sharing that. So what better way to do that than to share surfing? And so, and we do have to figure out a way to share it with the world. And luckily with Kelly and a lot of other smart guys out there, you know, they've started these wave pools. My friend Aaron Trevis is the founder of, one of the founders of Surf Lakes in Australia. And so it's important to create additional resources because there are more surfers now and relieve that tension from the ocean, you know, and there's more conscious sustainability now, and more people are aware of like how we've damaged the ocean and microplastics and fishes and how we're eating that now. And so guys like Kai, really important to the sport. Those are the guys that are really going to carry the sport into the future and transcend it beyond our small little surfing community and smurfing world, into not you know, it's not about making it a mainstream sport, but making it a sport that a lot of people understand and respect. And if they decide to get involved and understand that, like, it's important to give back. It's important to give back to the brands. Important to give back to the beaches and the community. You know, you're not like the guys playing basketball, and that kind of, very few of them are sweeping up the court after they leave. You know, but in surfing we do that. Because we need to protect the places we love. And so, you know, I love that Kai and several others now are about that. And I agree with you that we do, and especially for those guys to make a living. Again, we're talking about how expensive to live it is in Hawaii, you know, and how little a lot of these guys paid here, or the lifeguards. It's like crazy, you know? It should be double, triple what they're making. It's just so backwards here. And so in a lot of places in the world are like that, you know, but again, we know it's a broken world, but want to see our ambassadors and our people taken care of, guys like you as well, guys like me. And it's like, oh man, if you want to make a Disneyland, you got to become an accountant or you got to do something else. No, we want to provide a sustainable way for people to do our sport and our lifestyle and our culture without having to break their backs and work three other jobs to put food on the table for their families.
I could talk to this guy all day long, as you guys can see. I'm going to wrap this podcast up, but Mark, do you have any companies or anybody that we should be paying attention to that you want to give a shout out to? And then also for your Instagram and Facebook, how can people follow you?
All right. That's a good question, guy. On social media, it's The Stoke Life. At The Stoke Life, that's the channel that my wife and I have. And on Facebook, it's just Mark Sawyer Chu. And I'm going to be biased here, but I love all the media websites because I've worked at them at some point in time with or for them. But obviously a big firm believer in what we're doing at The Inertia. Been with the founders since the beginning. We worked back at Surfer Magazine together. So, you know, love just telling the best stories in surf and outdoors. And that's really our ethos and, you know, my heart as well. And that's why I think the founder and I get along so well. And so as long as we can continue to do that, inspire people to create positive change, you know, on a spiritual level, on an environmental level, on a physical level, whatever it is. You know, that's why we have a mountain channel, a women's channel, a health channel. And so we just want to tell amazing stories and encourage people to be outdoors and get in the water. So stay tuned on that. We just relaunched our website. And stay tuned to your podcast, guy, because you're getting some amazing people on here. Thanks for having me on. I'm probably the least important guy. You got Gavin Beshen, who's pretty rad earlier. So, but just kind of like you said, you're staying up with technology, looking at AI, just being aware of what's around, how the world's changing. You know, you got to, you know, be aware of where you're getting your information, obviously, and who's influencing your life. But having people like Lau Castle in your life and my life, getting surrounding yourself with good people, super important. So great question. But yeah, be careful. Fake news.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Once again, thanks for tuning in to Life with Style. As I always say, thank you for the early support on the show. As we start this thing grassroots, getting it going for you guys, having cool guests on like Mark, Gavin Beshen, and others, super, super thankful. So until next time, we'll talk to you guys soon.